LibertyNation.com. They are the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, are interested in preserving the fabric of America.
Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza, and I have with me today Jim Feit. And Jim is a writer for LibertyNation.com, among other things, and he is a gun guy, among other things. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Scott. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you for joining me again. Why don't we start, if you're I don't mean to ambush you, but I'm going to. Earlier this week, sort of as an aside or an offhand remark, you told me that you had been shot at, and I didn't have time then to kind of delve deeper into that story. Is that something you're at liberty to discuss on the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I suppose so. It was a long time ago. I was 19 at the time. I was at a party, and some drunk guy shot at me.
Okay.
Like, I'm not even sure why.
Right.
It was just one of those things that happens.
Okay, so that is your experience. your experience with a gun, and he did
tell people. I would say that I would run, but now that I've been through that situation, I say I run faster.
Right. Well, it's like the you don't have to run faster than me, don't have to run faster than the bear, just the guy that you're standing next to, right? Is the old joke.
Right.
Well, I'm glad that that shooter was not successful, and. Maybe that person should have been denied the purchase of a firearm, which is why we're here to talk about today, is these gun control questions that are obviously still very much in the air in the wake of the Parkland, Florida school massacre and the follow-up to that. So the latest is that Donald Trump has said that he's not terribly concerned about due process. First take the guns and later for the due process. It's like Alice in Wonderland. First the verdict and then the trial, huh?
Yeah, that I can't speak for anybody else, but that scared the crap out of me. as I think it should anyone when we start talking about putting due process last.
Especially for the person who is literally the person in charge of federal due process. In other words, the president of the United States is in charge of making sure that we see it.
Exactly. You expect to hear this from Dianne Feinstein, but not from President Trump.
Let me ask you, and so I'll just tell people that you have been writing a six-part. it's a good series. It's sort of our own LibertyNation.com documentary. It's called A Good Guy with a Gun, and it documents how good people with guns are saving lives and themselves. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I address some specific points with each article, but that's the general idea.
Can you tell me, are there any valid statistics out there on, you know, we have millions and millions of AR-15s in society, for instance, to name one gun, a demonized gun, certainly in this present day. Walmart and Dick's just coming out with clarifying statements about how they are, they're not going to. Walmart actually today, I don't know if you saw, I think it was today, anyway, I saw it today, Walmart announcing that in addition to the other restrictions, they're not going to sell airsoft or toy guns that resemble AR-15s because, I don't know, maybe Sarah Brady or Hillary Clinton can tell us why that's important. But in any case, it's important enough for Walmart.
They may be concerned that some kid's going to get it and, somebody's going to think it's a real gun and shoot them over something that wouldn't even break your skin.
Yeah. I agree that that's probably what they're doing, and that's the wrong way to go about it. You know, the right way to go about it is to make sure that kids can play with toys, I think, and not get shot. But
well, I agree.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's probably
right. Oh no, I'm sure it is.
I did see a BB pistol that was made to look like a 357 revolver. And unless you got really close to it, it really did.
I had one. I had a Crossman. I don't know what the model number was, but I had a Crossman BB pistol that also looked, you know, remarkably similar to a regular pistol. And I knew it at the time. I was a kid. I was a young teenager. And I knew that it could be mistaken for a real firearm. And it was then, therefore, incumbent upon me when I pointed it at my sister to make sure that she thought, I did know that it could be mistaken for a real firearm, and that, you know, as I took it about the neighborhood to wreak havoc among songbirds and such, that, you know, I needed to be mindful of that. Yeah. But, you know, that's about my parents and, you know, I don't know. I just don't think it's Walmart's job. And there's, you know, the kids want that, whether it's a Red Ryder or an AR-15, you know, that especially a boy wants a toy gun, right?
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like you said, that should be the parents' job. It was the parents' job when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I grew up around guns, and the idea of taking a gun to a school and just laying waste is just ridiculous.
You know, I had a kid. There was a kid who took a gun to my high school, and he did it for show and tell, meaning he wanted to impress the fellow students, and so that's why he took the gun to school. And one of the students told the a teacher or an administrator. The police were called, and that kid, he was back in school like a week later. that's what happened in this would have been in the 80s, I guess, or maybe the 90s.
It's not surprising that a kid would do that. With no intention of using it.
Right, right. You know. Well, of course, you know, we have this situation now where schools and guns are separate, but they didn't used to be. Generations ago, there were literally sporting activities, Target and other activities at school.
Well, generations ago, nothing. When I was in high school, well, actually, when my younger cousin was in high school, so we're talking the early 2000s, she went to a very small school, and they had shooting sports at that school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of course, we're out in the middle of nowhere in Arkansas.
Yeah. Gun country and God's country, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about,
like Huckabee would say, God, guns, gravy, and grits.
Okay. Huckabee, boy. All right. I want to talk about some of the specific provisions and policy initiatives that sort of kind of been put forth. It seems like with Walmart and with some of the others, 18 to 21 is now going to be a big thing, where in the current federal law, in order to purchase a new firearm from a federally licensed firearm dealer, a person needs to be 18 years of age or older if it is a rifle or shotgun, also called a long gun, and 21 right. years or older if it is to be a handgun. Well, what do you think of this restriction? What do you think of the safety benefit? Do you think that it has a chance in passing? And give me your analysis of it, if you would, please.
I thought that's how things already were.
Well, the impetus is now to make every firearm 21 and over. In other words, to deny the ability for those that are under 21 but over 18 to be able to legally purchase a firearm.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's kind of silly. I mean, at 17, you can enlist and be, you know, go off to basic training and be handed a rifle. Now, granted, a trained soldier is a little different from just some random guy as far as knowing how to handle a gun. But still, if we consider an 18-year-old an adult, then an 18-year-old should be able to do whatever an adult can do.
You know, I think that society needs to have an age where a person is an adult. And whether that's 18 or 21, I don't know that I have a sort of a horse in that race, meaning I'd be curious what some developmental psychologists would tell us about the prefrontal cortex and the decision-making capacity of brains. And right. maybe an older age is better, but at the same time, you know, here's how I sort of read the news. I look at it and I'll read a story and I'll be like, 13-year-old charged with as an adult for killing, you know, whatever. And you think, oh, wow. You know, and then it's meanwhile, you're going to have a 20-year-old treated like a child when it comes to these sorts of things. And like you say, like you can, it's not even that you can go off to join the military when you're 17, when you're 18, you're required by this country by federal law.
Oh yeah,
I think women too, right now, isn't that the latest? I don't know. I'm too far removed from young people, unfortunately. I think that everybody has to. Yeah. But so registering for Selective Service, and you're right. You know, you have a teenager out there who's commanded by their government not only to have a gun, but to shoot and kill people. And they're supposed to be able to handle that at 18 because they've been indoctrinated to our military. But yet if there's a person who is a private citizen at 18, it just doesn't seem like it. You know, are we going to allow that person to be an adult or not? And if we are, it seems like we have to let them have the capability of practical self-defense, which is what a firearm allows them to have.
Absolutely. That is the core reason behind the Second Amendment, is self-defense. You know, whether that's self-defense against a tyrannical government or self-defense against a criminal, still, I mean, the Second Amendment was not written to guarantee hunting rights.
Yeah, that's another thing I think that people do seem to have a little misunderstanding about. Okay, the next thing I'm seeing a lot of sort of pressure on or movement towards, I don't know that it's over the top that we'll likely see it, but is another banned list, another assault weapons ban or a list of bad guns. And for people who don't know, maybe we should just lay it out for them, Jim, if there's some folks out there who still haven't gotten the message, is that an assault weapon is a political designation, which is to say that some people have taken guns that they don't like or look scary, and they call them assault weapons. Those guns don't function any differently than non-assault weapons, but they look different. Is that, I think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, you slap some tactical gear on a shotgun, and it's going to look like a quote unquote assault weapon, but pump action or semi-automatic, it's not going to function any differently than just that standard long gun form that you bought it in.
And we don't have any, you know, just in you're looking at the landscape of this with the Your Good Guy with a Gun series, again, on libertynation.com, and I hope people check that out. there's no reason why, I mean, it's not like people don't defend themselves with tactical gear, right?
You get a lot of that. I'll refrain from what I was going to say. But anyway.
Yeah, we don't want to insult our fellow gun owners who, right, okay.
Some of it is cool, man. Some of it's cool.
Some of it is certainly cool. So there's lots of, you know, basically, so for people who are not gun owners or in the gun culture, it's sort of like if you think of the car culture. You know, some people have cars that they use to get to work and back, and they don't think about them for 10 seconds. And then you have those guys who put in those $40,000 bouncy suspensions. They can hop down the road like a crazy car, you know, and everything in between. Yeah. And
that's a good analogy.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's a lot of it, you know, it's like dudes with too much time on their hands and a couple bucks, you know what I mean? It's like, what kind of weird stuff can I get into with this thing? But it doesn't make them more dangerous or more likely to be used in some killing spree. And it just becomes an attack on that culture and that interest, I think, is how it seems. So, all right, what about cops in schools? Do you, that's obviously been getting a lot of traction since the massacre. What do you think about that?
I'm of two minds on that. On the one hand...
Well, hey, you know what? Let me interrupt you right now, because you said you're in rural Arkansas. Did you grow up in rural Arkansas?
I did.
How many students were in your graduating or in your high school?
I'm not sure. In the graduating class that I graduated with, I actually moved senior year.
Roughly speaking, just give me a ballpark.
A couple hundred.
Okay. The reason for my asking is just that the budgetary requirements to hire cops to secure schools, I think that people don't necessarily consider the schools that are not like the ones that they went to. So, for instance, I went to a school with a couple thousand, over 1,000 kids. And the pooling of resources by the, you know, or pooling is, sounds like it's voluntary, the taking of more money from the taxpayers in order to pay for those cops is less burdensome at a larger school, meaning if you're defending a single entrance with two cops of 1,000 people versus two cops of 140 people, it's a lot more money to pay those cops per student. So that's just something I wanted to, you know.
Well, and, you know, the high school I went to, the more rural high school I went to, we may have had from kindergarten to 12th grade 400 students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people consider that pretty small. We had one of the local city cops that would just patrol the hallways. And of course, we also never had any sort of active shooter incidents. The closest thing we had to a gun scare was during turkey season. A guy showed up to class with a 12 gauge on a gun rack in his back glass. So he had forgotten to take it out. He'd been turkey hunting before school.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was say, "Hey man, you should probably take that gun home and come back."
Right. I love the idea that, you know, that, yeah, you just were hunting before school. This sort of, really evidence.
That'd be different if you walk into the school with an AR-15.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But it makes the great point that there are all different sorts of people and circumstances in this country. You know, somebody made a joke about it during Betsy DeVos's confirmation hearing, but there are students who go to school where they may have to worry about a bear, or something like that. Well, you're a father. Let's put it in that regard. You're a father. When your child goes into a schoolhouse, let's say, you know, what kind of security do you want there? Do you want a cop there? Do you want an armed guard? Do you want teachers? You know, what's your preference that you've looked at the landscape as a person who reveres Second Amendment rights and has an understanding of the gun culture and also some of the danger involved in these mass shootings? What's your preference?
Well, I am terrified of the idea of my little girls going to a place, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, where they have no protection against shooters. Ideally, in my mind, teachers should be allowed to carry, not made to carry.
Right.
But just, you know, teachers and faculty members who would otherwise normally carry should be allowed to carry. As you've often said, concealed is concealed. Don't make a big scene about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows who has a gun. And then,
so this sounds like you're endorsing the view of Scott Mitchell, who was the Coral Springs police trainer that we had on last week, who basically meant, you know, that just don't require people to disarm when they walk into the schoolhouse who may otherwise be armed.
Exactly. I do agree with a lot of what he said last week.
Okay. Is there any other? I know that they have to go in a minute, and I do appreciate you joining us. Is there any other provision or provisions that you think both would add safety and yet not be violative of Second Amendment rights or otherwise threaten liberty of the populace that would help in this regard, whether it's, you know, psychiatric or gun or otherwise related?
I mean, not really something that can be legislated. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think the biggest problem is just people not being taught about guns and respect in general, and not being taught to respect them for what they are.
You know, we could do well with a firearms education aspect, huh? Like,
yeah,
a lot of kids just don't even understand how a firearm works. Just the whole, I'm thinking right now of the whole, and this I know is not a panacea to protect these kids, but just to help them understand that when somebody's changing mags, you could attack them without being shot, that kind of a thing.
Right. As long as you're quick enough.
As long as you're quick enough, yes. Okay.
But I mean, you know, that's a situational thing. But yeah, and I'm 33 years old, and I had, it was a hunter's education course in the sixth grade, and we took guns.
As part of a public education program.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I say we took guns. Our parents took us there with guns, not mm-hmm. a bunch of sixth graders strolling around.
No, I understand. But, I mean, this was public education. This isn't some NRA sideline thing that your parents decided was a good idea.
No, this was offered by the school at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hunter's education, and we went over firearm safety and, you know, general hunting safety.
Yeah, why, I wonder, do we not see this in our schools? Is it just hoplophobia generally, like the gun itself may somehow jump up and do something?
It could be. That reminds me of an episode of Family Guy where American Dad, where the dad puts a gun on the table and says, "Well, go ahead, gun, shoot."
Yeah, not going
to
work.
Trying to make the point that, you know, guns don't shoot people.
Yeah, well, sadly, that's a point that is lost on so many. Okay, well, I guess we will just pay attention to what's going on, and maybe we'll pick it back up. Hopefully next week we won't have enough gun policy news to do it again next week, but at some point in the future we'll pick it back.
If that's the case, something has gone terribly awry.
Indeed.
Either legislatively or just another shooting.
Yeah, and it's unlikely to be the way we want or the way I want. I'll leave you out of it, which is to say that to just simply remove all federal gun control restrictions, nope, which I think would yield
there is no except clause in the Second Amendment.
Indeed. I think that's a great line to close on. For Jim Fight and LibertyNation.com, this is The Uprising. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.